Well, I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. The one that calls us to cast our burdens upon him. And he just takes that burden and rolls it off our back. I had to think of the example of the last 2 days have been quite rainy and dreary. And yeah, just the kind of day that it was. I wake up this morning, I looked at the sun was coming up. I opened the blind, looked out the window, and I saw the sun coming up. It's a beautiful, glorious morning. And the birds singing, and in a way, it's like the joy and the peace that we can experience when we allow Jesus to take our trials and our failures, and he just restores that peace in our lives. Well, this morning I do want to recognize mothers, and I want to have a message for mothers this morning. The title of the message is Three Characteristics of a Godly Mother. Mothers have a very difficult and a very extremely important role in the home. And you've heard this before, how the influence of a mother affects many different aspects. It affects a society, it affects communities, it affects the church, it affects the home life. And it's a 24/7 job that is often thankless in the moment. Mothers do a lot. And the reward of good motherhood is often not received until much later. Especially my mind went to, even newborns and raising children and all that goes along with that. It's just it's a lot of responsibility, and often it's a very thankless job. But I also recognize that there are a lot of blessings that even though there's not, maybe a small child has no way of expressing his appreciation to you as mothers, there are a lot of blessings that go along with the joy of holding a sleeping child and things like that. And so I believe mothers deserve our sincere appreciation today and every day. Just a brief history of Mother's Day. It was first celebrated in 1907 when Anna Jarvis held the first Mother's Day service of worship. Her campaign to make Mother's Day started in 1905 when her mother died. In 1908, the U.S. Congress rejected the proposal to make Mother's Day an official holiday, joking that if they made Mother's Day an official holiday, they would have to proclaim a Mother-in-Law's Day as well. So I guess they understood the difficulty of keeping mother-in-laws happy. Over the next few years, various states recognized Mother's Day as a state holiday, and in 1914, Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation designating Mother's Day to be held on the second Sunday in May as a national holiday to honor mothers. So Anna Jarvis, the founder of Mother's Day, quickly became unhappy with the commercialization of the day. Anna respected her mother's work and all that she had accomplished. And as she promoted honoring mothers, she promoted two specific gifts. Number one was handwritten letters to their mothers expressing gratitude. And the second thing that she promoted was white carnation flowers, which were to become the official emblem of the day. But as florists and greeting card manufacturers and other industries capitalized on the holiday, they began to charge more money for certain items over the holiday, and Anna was disturbed that the holiday was turning into a money-making venture instead of as a day of celebrating love and appreciation. And I quote from an article, "The holiday had become something other than what Anna Jarvis intended. She wanted Mother's Day to be a private and heartfelt acknowledgement of what mothers mean to their families and to be a day of sentiment, not profit." So, if you have a mother that's living today, maybe you have done it already, but if you haven't, I believe we owe them our appreciation for what they have done and are doing for us. And if you don't appreciate your mother, come talk to me during fellowship meal. We'll talk about that. So I want this message to be a message of encouragement. As I thought about a Mother's Day message, and sometimes we preachers just nicely recognize mothers and then move on to preach about something that we want to preach about. But this morning, This week as I was studying, I decided that I'm going to preach a Mother's Day message. And I thought about Mother's Day messages and how sometimes we can, I think I've heard it say that, well, this is supposed to be an encouragement for mothers, but we lay this, or we lay this foundation, or maybe set the bar so high, and mothers go away feeling like failures because that's not who they are. And so I want to recognize this morning that as honorable as mothers are, you aren't perfect. And I think we need to be real with that and respect that, because neither are we as fathers as well. And so in my studies, I was looking at different passages, trying to decide what direction to go with the Mother's Day message. I came across maybe an unusual mother. So you can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. We have a story here. It's just a few verses. It's also found in Mark 7, but we're not going to turn to that. It's a lot the same. But in Matthew 15, we have the story of the Syrophoenician woman, we call her. And she was certainly a mother that wasn't perfect, but I believe by what we see, she was a mother that cared deeply about her daughter. And I want to look at her life at, I guess, is actually somewhat of an ungodly life, but yet look at her life and draw three characteristics of godly motherhood from the life of this mother here in Matthew 15. And so I want these characteristics to be an encouragement and blessing for mothers, as this is who mothers are. I think these three characteristics that we're going to look at is three characteristics that are fairly natural to motherhood. But then we read in our Sunday school lesson that the, and I mentioned this in the adult class, that the aged women are supposed to teach the younger women to love their children. So I'm not sure what to do with all that, but I think, well, I'm giving it away. Love is one of the characteristics that we're going to look at. And I think it's fairly natural for mothers. And so I want this to be an encouragement to you all. Matthew 15, let's read the short story here, starting at verse 21 down through verse 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So it's kind of an unusual story here. But again, three characteristics. The first one I want to look at is a mother's love. As we think about a mother's love, there are various aspects of this that we could look at. First of all, number one, a mother's love is sacrificial. This mom here obviously had a deep love for her daughter. It was a love that motivated her to go to find Jesus, seek Jesus, and to try to find answers. In verse 22, she was a woman of Canaan, and she came out of the same coast. And I didn't do a lot of studying, but according to commentaries, it would appear to me that Jesus was at least nearby, but she still had to go out of her town, of her city, and find Jesus, look him up, and because she wanted some answers. And I believe it was love that motivated her to action. It motivated her to give up whatever canning or whatever all she was planning to do that day and say, I'm going to go find Jesus because my daughter has a problem. And I want to help my daughter. And it was love that motivated her to go do that. I believe verbal expression of love is very important. It's something that should not be overlooked. But nothing speaks of love greater than actions. And this mom could have showered love upon her daughter and could have said how she just loves that daughter, and you're the dearest daughter in the world, and the most beautiful, and the just most loving, and you're just, and not done anything to help her. But when that mom got up and went to seek Jesus to find help, it shows her love. We sing the song, children learn it at a very young age, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that is true. We read the Bible, we understand that, yes, God tells us that he loves us. But it's not just that he tells us. The Bible also tells us that God proved his love for us by doing something, by sending his son. Jesus proved his love for us by humbling himself, going to the cross, and giving up his life for you and I. That's how we know that Jesus loves us. That's how we know that Jesus loves me, this I know. Not just because he said so, but because his life showed it. Mothers amaze me how they endlessly and seamlessly, tirelessly serve their families. And I want to honor you mothers for doing that this morning. A mother's heart will sacrifice herself for her family. And how you serve your family proves your love. And it's important to tell your children that you love them. Yes, that's absolutely important. But your children see your love by your sacrifice. And the older they get, the more they realize that how much mom sacrificed for them. There's an example I liked. I heard about a teacher who asked his math class, suppose your mother baked a pie and there were six of you, your mother, your father, and four children. What percentage of the pie would you get? One little boy raised his hand and said, 1/5. The teacher said, I'm afraid you don't know your fractions. Remember, there are six of you. The boy said, I'm afraid that you don't know my mother. She would say that I don't want any pie so we could have more. Just a little example of how mothers sacrifice for their children. And God bless you for that. And that's just one little example. There's so many ways as you think about your mother and ways that they sacrificed for you. Sacrificial love is the kind of love we are called to have for one another. Turn now to 1 John chapter 3. We'll come back to this story. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. When we have the love of God in our hearts, we should have the kind of love for all. And this is what is calling us. This is not just talking about mothers here. This is for all of us. Now, this is the kind of sacrificial love that we're all supposed to have for one another. But sadly, there are mothers that don't have a sacrificial love for their very own children. And you can observe this. You go around, you look at families, and you see mothers that are very selfish, live very selfishly. And this is a result of sin, selfishness, that's in the heart of many mothers today. And how can mothers see the needs of their children and not have compassion on them? Well, I believe that some people have strayed so far from the gospel that they look at their own children, and they see needs in their lives, but there's no compassion there. And that's really sad. And so I'm just blessing you mothers this morning for your sacrificial love. Sacrificial love seeks the good of others, even at the expense of giving up your own pleasures. There are many times that I know that this happens, that a mother wants nothing more than just a full night of sleep. Oh, that would be glorious. Just go to bed and not wake up until the sun comes up, and maybe even a little bit later than that. But yet, when that child starts crying and whimpering and is hungry or is sick or is afraid, The mother's the first one to be right there by their side and to hold them and to cuddle them and to care for them. Moms constantly sacrifice themselves for their children. A mother's love is unconditional. This mother had a love for her daughter, even though this daughter had, it seems to me, a pretty serious problem. I don't know how a child acts that is grievously vexed with the devil. I don't know what that looked like. But I'm sure it was probably difficult for this mother to relate to this daughter in some ways because of her problem. And I can imagine it wasn't a pretty sight, yet it seemed that there was a love there for her. Of course, the greatest example of unconditional love is God's love for us. And again, this is a kind of love that we're to have for all people. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:9 and 10, and this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you'll recognize this as the love chapter. And we're not going to read this whole chapter, but there's just a few verses that stood out to me as I think about this unconditional love and the kind of love that mothers have for their children. Unconditional love. 1 Corinthians 13, let's read verses 4 through 7. Charity, or love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And we'll stop reading there. We could keep going. But love, unconditional love, puts up with a lot. And we see that here in these verses. It isn't a love that says, well, if you're going to be nice to me, then I'll be nice to you. If you're going to be obedient, child, then I'm going to love you. Or if you're going to be nice to your brother and sisters, then I'll love you. No, it's an unconditional love. A mother's love for her children is very unconditional. It is love that is there regardless of how she is appreciated and treated. It's a love that is there regardless of the choices that her child makes. It is a love with no strings attached. And it's a love that will never give up on her children and will continue to love them regardless. There was a little story, and this isn't so much with children, but between a husband and wife. The story goes of a husband who, they were struggling financially, and he thought he should ask his boss for a raise, and eventually he worked up the courage, and he told his wife, today I'm going to ask my boss for a raise in salary. And the day went on, and finally, late afternoon, he got enough courage, and he went to his boss, and he asked his boss for a raise, and the boss granted him that raise. And when the husband got home, the wife had a nice supper prepared. She had the table set, and the best chinaware was out, and a nice meal, and candles, and it was just very nice. And there was a card laying at his plate. And the card read, congratulations, darling. I knew you'd get the raise. These things will tell you how much I love you. And so they had a nice dinner together, and the wife got up to go get dessert, and a second card fell out of her pocket. And that card read, and I don't know if this is a true story or not, but that card read, don't worry about not getting the raise. You deserve it anyway. These things will tell you how much I love you. The husband thought someone must have tipped his wife off that he got this raise, and that's how she knew it. But she was prepared to love him regardless. Regardless of whether he got the raise or not. Just a little example of unconditional love. And mothers, that is the kind of love that you have for your children. It's an unconditional love. Children sometimes don't make the right choices and they bring disappointments, but you love anyway. Children will naturally disrespect mom, unless our family is abnormal, but I don't think it is. Or at least they don't always show their appreciation, but you love them anyway. Mothers see the best and the worst of their children, and they love them anyway. A mother loves her child regardless of their looks, regardless of their IQ, their grades in school, their personality, and the list can go on. And so I want to bless you, mothers, for your unconditional love that you have for your family. The third thing about love is a mother's love has expectations. True love has expectations. And this mother didn't give up on her daughter that was vexed by the devil. She could have just gave up and turned her back on that daughter. And there are many mothers out there that I believe would have done that very thing. I would have just said, let someone else take care of this girl. But this mother had expectations that her daughter could be cured of this devil. And I'm sure there are mothers out there that have high expectations of their child's future. They might hold their little baby boy and say, well, maybe he'll be the president of a company or the president of the United States, or maybe he'll have some for big business, or he'll do some important thing. But godly mothers expect their children to be men and women of God. And I believe it's good that you have high expectations for your children, that they will grow up to love and to serve God. And that's way more important than being successful in the world. It is natural that mothers, or parents for that matter, don't want to believe it when their child is accused of wrongdoing. And maybe the teacher contacts mom or dad and says, hey, your child did this or that. Well, no, it couldn't have been, you know, my child doesn't do those things. A mother's true love will recognize the faults of her children and will discipline them because of their high expectations of them. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And so part of having a high expectation and wanting to see them grow up to be a godly man or woman is to recognize their faults and to work on their faults and to help them in that and to help them to grow and to discipline them. Love without expectations isn't true love. Just yesterday, some of the children were with me. We were in a store and this couple went by with pushing a cart, and there was I don't know how old he was, but there was a child in there just, well, having a real problem. And I mentioned to Landon, I said, well, I think that child needs some discipline in his life. True love will correct and discipline in love. And I just want to recognize the importance of discipline and child training that you mothers have to play in raising children. It's a very important role that you play. So God bless you, mothers, as you dream and mold your children to a godly expectation. Number four, a mother's love identifies with the needs of her children. This mother, it stood out to me. She didn't go up to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you come look at my daughter? My daughter has problems. But she says, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. She said it twice, actually, in this story. The problem of her child became the problem of the mother. And again, many mothers would have distanced herself from the need, but not this mother. A mother's love will identify and make the needs of her children her own. And so God bless you mothers for the love that you feel and exemplify to your families. True love is expensive. It cost Jesus his life, and it cost mothers a lot as well. And so we have this special day. We want to thank you for your love. The second characteristic that I want to look at, and the other two will be more brief. But the second one is a mother's faith. Faith is very earnest. This mother had an earnest faith, and Jesus pointed this out, and he recognized the faith that this mother had. This woman came out of her village seeking Jesus. She had a determination to find Jesus and ask him for healing for her daughter. She didn't say, well, I'm not going to bother Jesus. Well, maybe if he'd come right down our street, maybe I'd step out and ask him to stop in. But no, she had an earnest faith. The woman didn't give up when Jesus tested her faith. First of all, Jesus just ignored this woman. He just went on and he was driving the disciples crazy. Like, would you just deal with this woman so we can go on and get rid of her? But Jesus ignored her. And some may have given up right there, but she didn't. And second, Jesus makes a comment that she could have taken very personally in verse 24. He kind of refers to her as someone, yeah, you're not the children sitting at the table. You're like the dogs out there. And she could have responded, true, I'm not worthy of your attention, and turned away and left. But she didn't do that. Jesus recognized her faith and blessed her, and her daughter was blessed by this woman's faith. Faith refuses discouragement. This woman could have been discouraged about her daughter before she even tried to find Jesus. That discouragement could have caused her to not even go out of her house to locate Jesus. This mother could have easily got discouraged when Jesus ignored her, but she didn't. And in our lives, it is faith that carries us on when we can't see the big picture. And there are many things that we face that we can't see the big picture, but it's faith that carries us on through the difficult areas in life. And the Bible is filled with examples of people that acted in faith. Abraham started the journey not knowing where he was going. Noah built a ridiculously large boat on dry land when it had never rained a drop before. But he had faith. And we could look at the faith chapter. We could look at many others. But we endure the hardships of the present for the rewards of the future because of faith. And being a mother has its times of discouragement and its hardships. But it is the strong faith of godly mothers that keep her going. Faith sees beyond the present difficulties. Mothers with children of all ages face difficulties. Newborns up a lot at night, crying a lot. So much attention is needed by a newborn. Toddlers constantly getting into things that they shouldn't. And you don't even want to count how many times you say no in one day to that toddler. And it seems you never can get through to that 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old. And it's like, wow, are we ever going to get through to this child? And when will the 10, 11, and 12-year-old ever grow up? And what about these teenagers and the attitudes and whatever goes along with that? Yes, mothers with children of all ages face difficulties, but faith sees beyond those difficulties and keeps faithfully mothering and helping and disciplining and caring for them. Faith leaves a godly example for children to follow. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's just turn to that real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll just read verses 3 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So there was something in Lois and Eunice here that stood out to Paul, and he said, I see that in you as well, Timothy. There was an example for Timothy to follow, and Timothy followed it. And it's a blessing to have godly mothers that keep the faith, that are faithful to God, and leave an example to be followed. And I don't know what happened to this Syrophoenician woman and her daughter. I didn't study into it. I'm not sure if we even know what happened to her, to them. Did they follow Christ? Did the daughter live for Jesus because of this? I don't know what happened. But there is very little, if anything, more influential than the godly faith of a mother to a child. And Timothy made the right choice to follow the faith of his mother and his grandmother. And not every child will follow that faith of his mother. Some children are faithful in spite of unfaithful mothers, and that is very true as well. But the faith of a mother, the godly faith of a mother, helps to pave the path for a child to follow, and I want to recognize that. And bless you, mothers, for your faithfulness this morning. The third one, third characteristic, is a mother's humility. More is gained by humility than pride and arrogance. This mother was willing to identify, and I touched on this briefly earlier, as the dog in Jesus' illustration. She cried out to Jesus for mercy, not demanding healing. And it seems that she was following after. She's crying out, trying to get his attention, but she wasn't in his face, in front of him, in his face, saying, "You've got to come to my house." No. She cried out for mercy. "Have mercy upon me. Pay attention to me. Would you just have spend a little bit of your attention on me? Have mercy on me." And I would guess the results could have been different if she would have been in Jesus' face and in front of him. I don't know. But a godly mother will be a humble mother. A mother that doesn't make demands on God for her children, yet a mother that will earnestly plead to God for mercy for her children. Humility is not a hindrance to faith, but is a helper to faith. God says he will dwell with those that are of a humble and contrite heart. And when God sees humility and brokenness, then is when he can work in us. When God can work in us, when God can work in mothers, it will be a blessing to her children as well. Humility will worship God. This mother fell down and worshiped him. In verse 25, it says that when Jesus did finally stop and pay attention to her, she came and she fell down and worshiped him. In verse 25, she had a proper perspective of herself and of God. And when God is in his rightful place in our lives, then we will be in our rightful place. And mothers can be a tremendous example in their worship to God. Mothers don't feel they are perfect without fault. And I don't believe you feel that you mothers are perfect here this morning. And a humble mother will admit when she is wrong and when she makes mistakes. She will say, "I'm sorry," to her family and recognize that she's not perfect. Humility elevates others, not putting them down. First, mothers with humility will elevate their husbands. And I believe that's a good example to their children. It is very bothersome to me when I see a wife degrading or downgrading her husband, especially in front of the children. It bothers me greatly. Respect is not built by tearing others down. It is true that we as fathers are not anything close to perfect. There's a proper way to relate to the imperfections of husbands and fathers. And second, mothers with humility will elevate their children. Not in a way where they elevate them to the point, like I talked about earlier, that they can't do anything wrong. But they will praise them when they do things right and encourage them when they do wrong. And the children will know that they are important in the eyes of their mother. And so in closing, love, faith, and humility. These are three characteristics of motherhood. And there's more that we could look at. But love, faith, and humility. And I believe the three of these must be blended together and they will complement each other. And I'm thankful this morning for mothers that aren't perfect, but that have these, that I believe has these three characteristics. And God bless each of you as mothers as you faithfully serve him and continue to faithfully be the mother that God has called you to be. Let's kneel for prayer.